Good afternoon, Jasper.
Hey, Jasper, how are you?
I'm going well. And you doing well, Rob?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. The area here is expecting tornadoes and otherwise.
Yeah, I saw that the last storm went past you guys, but this one looks like it's going to be directly.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Pop.
Hey, Uncle Jasper.
Hi.
No, I can sit in the living room.
You do?
All right. We on the phone.
Okay.
Is this for Jerry?
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. She comes. She's mm-hmm.
Down there.
Right. You don't have
naps in front of you.
I got a sleeve. Whoever brought this to me, thank you.
Jerry did. He and I discussed what you can eat. He had to ask me. He would do it. That's a shame.
All right. So is everybody there?
Yep.
Almost.
Jerry's walking in now.
Jerry's walking in, and Tina's walking in a second.
Hello.
How you doing?
I just sent you an email, Rob.
You what?
And I'm on.
An email.
He's staying at home.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's all you say.
Good. Now, let me see what this
one is. Anybody else need a napkin, or is it just me?
No, it's just you.
Tina knows me well.
Oh, I do the same thing. I have that three.
Let's do this. Let's close the door. Let's get started.
All right, we're all here, except for Jerry.
She's coming in.
Jerry's doing one more thing. I think she's giving us a copy of what she's emailed to you.
Okay.
Well, we're in the middle of a storm.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tornado warning.
Watch.
I thought it was a warning.
Watch.
You sure?
Warning.
Warning.
Where?
Tornado warning.
Where? We're not in Lexington County.
Another one just popped up.
It came through my phone.
Okay, is it Richland County?
Okay, it said the area that you were in. So it uses the location.
Okay.
And I got that too.
What did I tell? I know what
I did. You guys have to run shelter. Go ahead.
Okay, we're ready.
We're in the best shelter.
Oh. You can see that is loud.
Oh, my God, Jesus. Okay.
Say a prayer. You'll be all right.
Hey, Rob,
did you get my email? I did. I'm looking at it right now, so that's great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're still working on the business plan gap analysis thing.
Okay, you want to just go down the bullets?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, why don't you go ahead and read them off, and I'll comment if I think there's something to be said.
Okay,
here's where we need to work on getting a list of prospects, and that's one thing that we have not done yet, but that's what we need to work on. We want each advisor to have two natural and two target niches. We have not assigned them yet, but
we started,
but, you know, I guess that's where we started. When you look at the list of the natural and the, these are the COIs, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so when we look at the center of influence of every niche, the natural and the target, we have clients' names. This is what you asked for, the names of the natural and the targeted niches.
Right.
All right. Do you have any questions there?
No, I just, your assignment is to get these names and actually put them in here, okay? So I'd like to, you know, have, okay, so you actually did that. Okay, so you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. I'm reading ahead now. Here are your target and your natural niches.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the people inside each one that would be your potential centers of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Awesome. Good. So what did you learn from this exercise?
Well, I know one interesting thing is that most of the, and you mentioned it, I think, in a previous chapter, but most of the people in the natural target niches that we want to go after are all in our top, they're our top clients.
Mm-hmm.
So. Huh.
Mm-hmm. So really? Yeah. And the other thing is that we didn't realize, some of the niches we didn't realize we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't dawn on us until, I guess it was last week, how many salespeople we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of salespeople.
Right.
In fact, one of our prospects is a salesperson, huh?
Done. Oh, yeah, she is. That's right.
Mm-hmm. She fits right in.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
That's something I forgot to put in, because he did ask for the average amount of time that it takes for us to close on a deal. And we had two deals between, like, the last 3 months, and we closed both of them already. Well, two prospects that we closed on.
Today,
you're talking to him or you're talking to us? Jared's talking to you. I mean, not Don.
Rob.
We're talking about Don. Okay.
Yes.
Rob, Jared's talking to you.
Yeah, I heard that. It took about 3 months on average to close a client.
No. It took less than three. It
was 3 months ago.
So we've had three.
New clients?
Yeah, like three referred prospects to us in the past 3 months, and
uh-huh.
we've closed on two of the three already.
Okay.
And the time, I would say, for each of them, the first one, it took, what?
A month.
Did it take a month? Yeah, a month. And then the second one, it took
a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one. No, we haven't closed. We have not met with them yet, right?
Yeah, meeting in a few weeks.
Yeah.
We have a phone meeting, right?
Mm-hmm, in a few weeks. But then I'm thinking there's four then that would be fine.
Yeah.
Who's the fourth one?
Michael.
Well, that's later. He's going to be closed later because of
the
timing.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I'm in on.
Yeah, with his daughter.
All right, well, good. Well, let's keep track of, and you can put them on a spreadsheet or do anything you want in terms of how you track them, but let's start, and actually, if you would share that with me, that would be great. To start
okay.
to put down your prospects as you get them. And then how long it took you to close them. And then we'll be able to tell after a while what your average close rate is.
Mm.
And as you know, it's very dependent on who's referring you, how if that person's educated on what you do and how well you do it. Then it's going to be a very short time. If it's a random and you really don't get they're not really that well qualified, then you may never close them. So
yeah.
That's where training aspect for your clients and for centers of influence comes into play. All right,
mm-hmm.
Let's go to the five-star
model. I'm going to feed your dog.
You hear my dog?
Yeah. Yeah, Beethoven can hear your dog.
That was some serious
Jamie. Is this
but it's all
or something?
But it's all family. We're all family, Rob.
He's been dead 100 years, right?
What'd you say, Rob?
And Beethoven's been dead 100 years. He could still...
Yeah. And when he was living, he was deaf.
He's going to break it down.
You can tell we have fun, man.
I know why they laugh much. You're funny.
But that's when your day job.
Yeah, but keep me as a counselor now.
I have a question, Rob.
Yes, ma'am.
Regarding the close rate for prospects, do we start counting that? Do we start counting how long it takes after the first initial meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, as soon as you get the name, I would start the clock.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. I hear thunder.
And the reason, you can cut this off anytime, guys. If you need to run for the shelter.
No, we're inside a conference room. We're good.
Okay. And I assume it's not in a trailer somewhere.
The Morgan family trail. That's funny. All right. Okay. So from the time we get the name to the time we close. Now, does Jerry need to devise a spreadsheet, or do you already have one so that we aren't recreating the wheel?
No, I would just say just put it on an Excel spreadsheet and make it something that works. Yeah, make it work for you.
Okay.
So we'll do the prospect's name, the date the referral was received, the initial call and the close date, and who referred the client.
That's right.
And I will keep track of the contacts. How many times did we contact them? Did you have that down? Yeah. How many?
You can actually do that even with the ones we closed already, because mm-hmm. we set those notes up sheet.
Now I'd put the the assets that they the size of the client that would give you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good
that's
idea.
A good one.
Mm-hmm.
But that way we'll see if larger clients take longer or whatever. When you do this for a year or two, you're going to see. And the things mm-hmm. we're going to work on are all, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them are designed to improve that closure rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So all the way from getting more of them, also making sure the quality is higher, and then how you're introduced can really mm-hmm. affect closure rate.
That's true. That's very true.
Dramatically. I mean, we're going to attempt to have every introduction either be in person or be a phone introduction.
Mm.
And we're going to direct it, or how?
I'll show you how to direct it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's all in the words you use, but you're going to train your clients. And you're going to train them by example. So one of the most effective things we can do is to refer to them and then do it in a way where their closure rate is high.
Mm. Okay.
And they, I'll give you a quick example. I learned a very good lesson. I used to refer people by just give them a name or tell them that, a person would be getting in touch with them. And I'd only mm-hmm. refer one person to them.
Mm-hmm.
What I found was that oftentimes they would then go out and search for somebody else so that they would have a choice.
Yeah, that's what we do.
All right? And I don't want that to happen, you see, because as the center of influence, the person referring, I want them to choose one of my recommendations. Because if they choose one of mine, then I frankly get credit for it in their mind. I was the one that referred them. But if I recommend somebody and they go with, say, Northern Trust that I didn't recommend, then I didn't have any benefit to them.
Okay.
You see what I mean? But if I recommend three different firms and good teams on each firm, then they choose one of them, I win with all three because I referred to all three. Only one got, only one actually got the case, but the others feel good that I recommended them. And then when they do choose that one, then again, I win. Because, you know, you get benefits by people. People appreciate it when you help them out. So I recommend the same thing for you. Never, I would never just give one name for anything.
We don't.
You know, I don't care if it's a surgeon or a teacher or always recommend in threes.
Okay.
Well, we do that already as a practice.
That's really smart. Now, one of the things that we're going to work on is creating what we call, you know, it's an ancient term, but it, I'm sure it can be used today, is a golden Rolodex. That is enthusiastically endorsed professionals in the community. And you always have, you know, you have Angie's lists and you have these other records. Neighborhood people will sometimes have a list of people that are recommended for, you know, odd jobs and plumbers and things like that. But we want it for professionals in the community.
Okay. So
we're gonna build this list, and if you've done this already, then you're way ahead. But the idea is that you want to have three names for each. So there's your spreadsheet with all the professions on the left and three names going down. Now, you may switch off the names, meaning one, you know, you no longer recommend one, or one becomes your number one person on the list and the other one goes to number three or something. But the idea is that you have a robust list. And then if somebody is moving to town, they're a CEO of a company or they're an influencer, you want to help them out, you can literally give them the list, and they could then, you know, go from there. If they, rather than calling you all the time and saying, you know, who's the best person in the community to cut down trees, you've got it for them. So it's a huge help, especially for the spouse that's not working or the one that's responsible for most of the daily activities around the house. So it's really a great idea. We'll work on that, not in this chapter, but we'll work on it. We call it our enthusiastically endorsed list.
Now, how do we do? How do we maximize that on the flip side when somebody is recommending us so that they don't need two other people that they're going to look at? They just look at us.
No, you really want them to have three. I would encourage you. You know, I told
three different advisors.
Yeah. When I was dating my wife, I told her to make sure she had looked around sufficiently.
Well, the good news is that you had to tell her. It would be bad if she said, I'm going to look around for a little while.
My final decision. I've still got a few other guys I gotta check out, but then I'll let you know. You know, and I used to say that to FAs, too. I'd say, now, we'd like you to work here, but I want you to make sure you don't get here and then all of a sudden think, you know, what did I miss, you know? So I'd make them go interview everywhere else on the street before I'd hire them.
Mm. Good.
Yeah, it's the only chance you're going to get for a free look at the other firms.
It is. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
We should do that?
I hope I'm not the only one you looked at for this job. No, I think
well,
it's smart.
You think, there have been some people, you know, people come say, you know, I am talking to a few other people, and we're very, we don't push them, but at the same, we sell, you know, what who we are and what we do well, but we don't push them saying, we should have gone talk to, you know, XYZ firm.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, generally, we know that it's meant to be because they'll come back and we know that we made a good impression. So I can see how that could kind of work.
People are drawn to confident people.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right? So
the more you
kind of push them away a little bit and say, you know, I think at this point you should really check out everybody else. And then, you know, if you feel that it's creating more value for you, then we'd love to have you as a client. And they're like, no, I'm good. I want you. So it's kind of like this idea of where we're limiting our practice to 100 clients. I mean, your clients are now seeing you in a different light.
Should we tell them the number? I haven't been telling people the number. I've just been telling them what we're doing.
I would tell
why we're doing what we're doing.
I would not be uncomfortable telling them the number. And the reason is they'll say, well, how did you get to that number? And you say, because, frankly, there's only so many hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And each client is going to take somewhere between 10 and 20 hours of our time, and that limits us to 70 to 100 clients at the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested in how many patients my concierge physician has.
See? So you have one? You have a concierge physician?
I do.
Okay.
Here's the economics of it. It doesn't make any sense, but I still pay for it. I'm down in Florida half the year, so I don't only have half a year to take advantage of him, and I still pay him the full price. And the reason is I want to be able to see somebody when I want to see him, and I don't want to be in a waiting room.
Very
true.
See, so and that's what you want. You want people that want you for who you are and what you offer. And part of it is your availability and the time that you're going to put into the relationship.
Okay.
The average client, do you know how many patients the average internist or general practitioner has?
No, how many?
Between 2 and 10,000.
That's why they spend 5 to 10 minutes on you.
And when you go in, you wait for an hour.
I saw that on that little blurb.
Always somebody with an emergency. And they don't build that in. They build their schedule in to be 15 minutes with each patient, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in, you know, with a broken back, and they got to...
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I'll show you how to turn it around so that when you're referring to somebody else, you teach them how to refer to you.
Okay. Now, on that note, and then we'll keep going, but while it's fresh on my mind, one of the things that I've been doing, right or wrong, I'm doing it, is as we tell people that we've hired you to take an outside look at us and we're limiting our practice, I also throw in the referral. Because a lot of times our clients have been referring people to us that don't fit our minimums, and you know, and sometimes they, you know, they're $50,000 or $100,000, and it's, you know, we talk to them, but we don't take them on. Well, we did at one time, but that's part of the problem. But I'm throwing that in right now, that referrals are important. And we want to make sure that we're serving the right people. So, you know, should I leave that alone or should I broach that subject later? Because I'm really including two in one.
No, I think, look, you have an instinct for this, and you make it very matter-of-fact.
Mm-hmm.
We're always interested in helping out people in the community that will benefit by our services. Our minimums are now $2.5 million.
We haven't said that yet.
We sure haven't. We haven't talked about minimums.
We haven't told them minimums. We've been telling, but everybody who we've talked to fit the minimum. We just tell them they have a seat on the first class plane. They have a first class seat on the plane.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you can say, look, think of the concierge physician, right? His minimum charge is $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you're over 65, his minimum charge is $7,000.
Okay.
See? Because he knows it's going to be more work.
Right. Right. You know what's been amazing, though? As we've been calling, people have been, you know, people have excelled. I've had a number of people excelled because they say, man, I thought you were going to tell me that I wasn't going to be a client anymore.
Yeah.
And that's been surprising.
No, they think, everybody thinks they're small.
Isn't that something?
It is.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Okay, you missed that one. That's okay. It was directed at internally. It wasn't an inside joke.
Seriously, everybody that they're, you know, they can have $10 million and they know people with $1.5 billion or $1 million, $100 million or something. And they're always, you know, they don't think they have much money. I mean, in their community, they may be okay.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they're, you know, so they'll all feel that way. They'll feel very fortunate that you're keeping them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But nobody has said anything but good things. And they're glad that we're going to spend more time with them. And they're glad that we're going to contact them. You know, our problem, to be honest with, I mean, just to be perfectly, as Keisha says, transparent, we're just having trouble reducing the butlers and turning those who we, you know, just, you know, we've got 104 greens, 104 people that we know we're going to keep. Well, it's probably more than that now, right?
Probably. It's like maybe 110.
110? Maybe. So we have 110 we're definitely going to keep as clients, and now we're trying to work out the butlers. Yeah, we got 90 butlers.
Well, actually, it's a little less than that. When we were doing yesterday's exercise,
mm-hmm.
total clients we would have total, everything butlers included, would be about 175.
That's where we are now?
About, yeah. It'll be less than 200, I think.
Less than 200? Really?
That's good.
That's good.
I want to see how much,
we got
to do the number. Yeah, we got to look at this, see what the immediate revenue repercussions are.
So.
And we saw the video. We know we got to give
them.
We can't hide them. We know. They're paying us, and we don't bother them, they don't bother us. Yeah, so we're still trying to get through that. Most of it has to do with relationships.
Yeah.
That's the biggest reason.
Family relationships or personal?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, do the best you can. I mean, I really like the idea of 12-4-2 for all your clients. So keep that
right.
in the back of mind, you know.
Right.
You can hire somebody or delegate to somebody to give 12-4-2, but the fewer, you know, it's just, it doesn't make much sense when somebody's got a $200,000 rollover.
Right.
You know, they don't need 12-4-2. So
right.
the question becomes, you know, is that client better served by someone else?
Mm-hmm.
By a different team that you're, so you got to have confidence that they're going to get served. So
right.
part of the work
is
find people that, other than yourselves, that can take good care of clients. And then give them responsibility and then check up on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will continue to refer to you for a $200,000 rollover, and you got to have somebody to give them to rather than just saying, you know, bad referral.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
So you're also going to teach us how to deflect, right?
Is that a
stop it?
Warning?
No, it's not.
Say it again?
That wasn't a tornado warning.
I don't know what kind of warning that is. What is it?
They're going off everywhere. It's flash flood warning.
Flash flood.
Okay. And yes, I mean, one of the things, you know, the word, always the truth is the best answer all the time.
Very
so
true.
You know, when you say, give me a speech to tell these people, well, just basically tell them the truth, you know, and say, look, I'm happy to talk to anybody. Our minimums are $2.5 million, and we charge $25,000 on average for our clients, all right, for fees. And they'll be like, whoa, okay, now I see, you know, this is a business rather than a hobby, right? And so they're not going to refer you a $200,000 rollover or something. But
right.
if you haven't made that speech and somebody refers you a $200,000 rollover, you always say, listen, I appreciate what you've done. It's a wonderful compliment to us every time you refer someone to us. This is not a client that we are going to be able to take care of because we don't want to charge him the amount, our minimums. That'd be insane. That'd be crazy. But we will always find them someone who's better suited for them. And so you do. You know, if you would not mind that, I will find them someone that's highly qualified and is better suited.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you just tell them the truth. You know, you don't want to charge them $10,000 for a $200,000 rollover. That's your minimum charge.
Yeah.
I see. That's an interesting way to put it, too. Because sometimes it's really easy for us to be able to tell somebody, oh, our fees will be too high for what they bring over. And so most people are, they're like, oh, thank you for telling me and being honest. Like, I'll
right.
keep it where it is or I'll do something different.
Right.
But when it's
right.
like, when our fees are typically for like a $200,000 rollover, technically I guess it wouldn't be that high, but the way he put it, I mean, if you were to charge the max percentage, then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
I haven't either. And thinking about that, you know how some 401k said, look, you know, we'll take it under X amount of dollars, but our minimum charge is.
That's
yeah.
what we need to do.
Yeah, our minimum charge is
it
there.
It is.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to have to do. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, I had a team that did that, and they said, look, you know, we're happy to consult with you on that plan. Our minimum fee is $10,000. For that, you'll get basically 12, tell them what you'll give them. You give them 12-4-2. You know, and that sometimes satisfies them. They're willing to pay that fee, even though you're not even custodying the assets. You're just consulting with them. Another one, did that for a financial plan. Didn't even.
There we go. And man, I was about to interrupt you to ask about that because you mentioned earlier about charging for financial plans. I think we kind of heard it differently. But I have a friend of mine who's a big senior officer at a major firm, and I told him what we were doing, and he said, and I was telling him that Jerry's going to be running plans. He said, well, are you going to charge for the plans? I said, well, no. He said, well, why not? And which is a good question. Well, why not? And you had mentioned that before, so can you kind of elaborate on how that works and what that looks like, especially, you know, working with some Morgan Stanley people or whoever you want to use. But just elaborate on that.
Well, I mean, in that case, you know, you would charge $10,000 to do a financial plan, and then that would be your annual fee for the update of the financial plan. And then you just give them advice and guidance on how they should asset allocate and what they should do and look over their life. If they're going to move, you know, $10 million to you, then you can tell them that that would take care of the cost of the financial plan.
If they move $10 million, okay. And if they don't, you charge for the plan.
Then you charge them the $10,000, right?
Whoa. So $10 million is the minimum they would need to bring over to have a free financial plan?
No, you could make it, you know, whatever you thought was fair.
Make it 2 million.
Oh, okay. I think you said, but have a minimum. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're just giving an example.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good idea.
We've got to figure out which plans we can charge for, because there's some that we can charge for and some we can't, right?
Yeah.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking if they come and become a client and, you know, they have the assets, don't charge them. I wouldn't put a number. Don't charge them. But if they don't become a client, that's when we charge them. That's what I was thinking. Because why would you want to charge a new client $10,000 for a plan and they're bringing the assets over?
Yeah, he's not
that's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, he's saying, like, if someone doesn't have the assets but they do want to work with us, well, we can work with them, but this is our minimum fee. And so,
okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll charge it for the plan.
Yeah, I wouldn't be uncomfortable leading with planning and say, you know, I'm happy to and our minimum charge for our financial plan is, you know, whatever it is, $2,500, $5,000, $10,000, whatever you decide on that size client, on this size client, we charge you $5,000. Get a check for $5,000 for the plan. They don't become a client, you still get the $5,000, and then you're going to be much more anxious to do planning. What I find is if you don't get paid, you don't want to do that many plans.
I agree. If you don't get paid, you know, I agree. Because, I mean, Jerry, how many plans can you do in a month?
Is that all I'm doing?
Yeah.
I probably can do, like, 2 to 3 a week.
2 to 3 a week? Okay. Yeah. And how many hours would that take?
A lot.
How many hours would it take, though?
I mean, but after she finish my...
Somebody else?
It normally takes me about, I mean, from start to finish, like gathering the information takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then doing everything takes half of the day a lot of the time.
Okay.
And I wonder if that's going to change, though, with you being just working on it completely.
The actual plan usually takes between 10 and 20 hours.
Yeah.
And somebody ought to be compensated.
Exactly.
I think so, and that's what you tell them.
Yeah.
If they met your minimum, your target minimum.
I don't know. In the 20 hours. I don't know.
2.5 million.
That's just, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If they were going to pay you, say, $25,000, then you'd refund the whole thing. If they're going to pay you, putting in 2 million, you know, they're going to bring in a million, then maybe you refund half of it.
Oh, I see. If we do the plan first and then they bring in the assets
right.
later. I see.
How do you do that?
If you manage the account, then you give them a reduced fee for the first year. And then the next year.
Right. Mm-hmm. By the way, let me tell you something. It eliminates the risk of doing the work and not getting the account.
Yep.
A lot of work with no pay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So this is a business.
Daisy, you're actually running a business?
Imagine that. Yeah.
Well, guys, yeah. I got to run, but thank you.
Homework.
Great. Session.
No homework?
The homework is to, you're an athlete, so, and I'm sure you all are health conscious. There's a book on the power of full engagement with Jim Lehrer, who is one of my heroes, and he's well known among athletes. Those in sport, and he's a great guy, and this book is very focused on, I had somebody tell me the other day that he was coaching a team and told them that, you know, the difference between winning and losing is discipline, and Jim would tell you that's not the truth. The difference between winning and losing can be the creation of proper rituals. Okay. Everybody has a limited amount of discipline, each of us, but we have an unlimited amount of ability to create rituals. So once a ritual is created, then you don't need discipline. So whether it's basketball or tennis or golf or anything, you watch professional athletes, they always approach the foul line the exact same way.
Right.
And they bounce the ball so many times, they breathe, they do whatever they do.
Yeah.
Same thing they practice, they do in the game, and that reduces the stress, which allows them to relax so that they execute brilliantly.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we want to do. That's what Supernova is built around, that premise. So what we do is we want to create rituals every day, so we come in. The folders are ready for us.
I have a question about the folders, too.
Can you have Lori call us, please?
Yeah, you should have folders. Each folder has got a, I think Lori sends you a list of what should be in each folder. I just saw an email that comes out.
Yeah, this doesn't match the book. So should we go by the list or?
I mean, they're just suggestions on what should be in each folder. You know, you can put into the folder what you think is best and what best suits you. I'm very ritualistic about it. I think on the back page goes the notes. Next to that goes the agenda. That's both for you and the client. And that would be the same whether you had a center of influence folder or a niche folder. The agenda next to the notes. In the beginning, you want to identify who it is that you're trying to So in the beginning of your first page on your folder would be information about the client. Everything, all the information you have about the client is the first page. So you Google them, you've got all the information about the kids. You got everything that you get pretty much out of a financial plan. Not the plan, but just the questionnaire can be in the first and the second page. The rest of it is, you know, information about the phone call you're going to make, information that it may be performance information related to how the client is doing. Maybe, you know, a lot of people like to have a section on referrals, clients that have been referred to them and clients that they've referred to us. And then it's just a chance to remind everybody to check up and see how they're doing on those people.
Okay.
So it kind of, it's up to you all, you know, on other pages. I like the six-sided medical folders because that's plenty of room, but don't keep any documents in there. You know, have a separate folder for the client for their trust documents and their corporate documents and tax statements or whatever else that you have on them. Put those all in a separate one. This is a very thin folder where you don't store things.
Okay. So the mini-me folder should be six sections or four.
Yeah, six. I like six because we'll kind of come up with good ideas to put in that, and if they don't have the sections, then it's like, you can do four. But, you know, if you put in the referral document, there's not room for that, then, and so forth.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Now,
homework is what again? To create rituals?
Yeah, get the book, The Power of Full Engagement. You can get it online, Jim Lehrer. And then folders, you know, it tells you, you ordered the folders the last time, right?
Mm-hmm, we did that first thing.
Yeah, you did it first thing. This week was about creating your ideal day, week, and month. And so I gave you kind of a sample.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, well, how am I going to visit all these people? Think about those questions, and we'll talk about those the next time, creating your perfect week, month, a day, and year. Because once you schedule all these people, you're kind of stuck with it. You can change them, but rather than getting stuck, why don't you create your ideal day and then work the clients around you all rather than you around them. It's a chance to gain control of your day. If you want to take half a day off on Friday, fine, but that's built into your schedule. You know, you have 5 week months. That can be a good chance to make up for appointments that are missed or to do prospecting. So, start to reassign the clients that aren't going to be part of your practice. Continue to introduce Supernova to the next 20%. Continue to identify your niches and centers of influence, which you're doing a great job of. And then set up your ideal day and block out time for client appointments and visitations and other things. Okay, so you're doing fine. You know, your question last week was, oh, you're doing fine. I just think you want to see if you can get a handle on some of these reassigning of your smaller clients and start to get that moving.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank until you. Next time.
Hey, Rob, have a good day.
I'll see you next time.
Oh, that's right. Next week you're gone.
I'm out on Wednesday.
Okay. So,
The team will meet.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. Thanks. Talk to you next week, then.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Are you guys still on?